little bit of rearranging here. We're just going to mess up the music people too. And you got that one? Okay. So we've been doing a series on favorite Bible stories. And I don't know why I chose this one. But it was the one that sort of jumped out of my mind as the one that I wanted to do. And it's found in 2 Kings chapter 5, first 18 verses, is all, or 19 verses I think it is all we're going to cover. It's the story of Naaman the leper. But, you know, the kids probably know the story, and maybe you know the story. But for the Bible reading today, Christine is going to lead us in that. Now, you probably don't have the same version of the Bible as she does, but roll with it.
I'm the narrator for anybody that can't read it. All right, children, this is where you come in. Who would like to be our girl in our play? Chloe, come on up. All right, where did our girl go? Is she over there? She's over there. Okay, so go stand up over on that side of the stage with Les. All right, I need Naaman. Who wants to be Naaman? Mark, you don't... So in this play, you can act out what I'm saying, and the narrator will say, the character said, and you can repeat it. You don't need to know anything. You don't need to be prepared. You can just come up and do it. All right, come on up, Marcus. All right, you are Naaman. All right, now Naaman in our story, he has a skin disease. So here's, no, you can put it all the way up. Here we go. All right, Naaman has a skin disease. Okay, I need a king of Syria. Who feels kingly? Zoe feels kingly. All right, Zoe, come be our king of Syria. Now, stay in Syria for me. All right, now I need a king of Israel. Chris, I thought I heard you volunteering. Go see Grandpa. And I need Elisha. Joel, you want to be Elisha? Come on up. Les has Elisha. Now, for the rest of you, I need some men of Syria. All right, Nathan, come on up. Gerald, come on up. Connor, come on up. Noah, Sophia, you get to be like the army. No. All right. Anybody? Yes, Marcella, come on up. Would you like to be in our army? No other army volunteers. All right. you could be in the army. All right, so there is an important rule for all of you that are still sitting in the audience. Every time I say skin disease, you all need to say, ew. Let's practice. Skin disease. All right. Oh, and I apologize. This is the River Jordan. It's down in between Israel and Syria. Because the River Jordan, of course, is very important in our story. Not yet. We'll get there. Trust us, we really do know what we're doing, maybe. The people of Syria and the people of Israel didn't like each other. The people of Syria didn't know who God was and didn't worship him. One day, men of Syria went to Israel and kidnapped a girl. Go kidnap. No, no, you're the king. You have to stay here. The men have to go. Men, go kidnap the girl and bring her to Syria. So take her by the arms and bring her to Syria. The little girl became a servant of Naaman. Naaman was a big man. Marcus, can we see your muscles? All right. Naaman was a big man and well respected by everybody. But Naaman had a problem. He had a skin disease. The little girl said, Naaman, the God of Israel, can heal your skin disease. So Naaman went to visit the king of Syria. So this is your king of Syria here. And told him what the little child had said. The king of Syria wrote a note to the king of Israel. And the letter said, I am sending Naaman to you so you can heal his skin disease. Naaman took the letter. Hi. Naaman took the letter. Naaman took the letter. Give the letter to Naaman. And traveled with his men, you're the men, to Israel to see the king. All right, so boys, you're going to travel to see the king. The king of Israel was upset. What? He said, I'm not God. can't heal this guy of skin disease.
What? I'm not God. I can't heal this guy of his skin disease.
Then the king said, "The king of Syria is trying to pick a fight with me."
The king of Syria is trying to pick a fight with me.
But Elisha the prophet wrote a letter to the king of Syria. The letter said, "Why are you upset? Send Naaman to me." So Naaman and his men went to see Elisha the prophet. All right, Naaman and your men, come see Elisha the prophet. Naaman said to Elisha, "I want to be healed of my skin disease."
I want to be healed of my skin disease.
Elisha said, "Go take a bath in the Jordan River 7 times and you will be healed of your skin disease."
Go take a bath at the Jordan River 7 times. And you will be healed.
Naaman got mad. He said, "What? I thought this guy would wave his hand over me and God would heal me of my skin disease."
I thought he would wave his hand over me. I would be healed of my skin disease.
And Naaman said, "But now he wants me to take a bath in the Jordan River? That river is so gross." Naaman's men told him, "Sir, if Elisha had told you to do something awesome, wouldn't you do it?"
If Elisha said something awesome, would you do it?
The men said, "What's the problem with taking a bath?"
What's the problem with taking a bath?
So Naaman went down to the Jordan River. Naaman, come to the Jordan River to take a bath and be cured of his skin disease. All right, Naaman. When Naaman had finished washing in the Jordan River, his skin was healed. It looked like the skin of a little child. So Naaman went back to see Elisha, the prophet. Naaman said, "Now I know God is real. The God of Israel has healed me."
The God of Israel has healed me.
Naaman said, "I will worship God for the rest of my life."
I will worship God for the rest of my life.
And Elisha the prophet said, "Go in peace."
Go in peace.
So Naaman and his men returned to the country of Syria. Now Naaman had the same faith as the little child of Israel, and Naaman worshipped God for the rest of his life because God had healed him. The end.
You can keep the hats if you want to keep them. Okay, thank you. So I just thought that was a different way of introducing the scripture and having the kids involved in the service today. I just want to make a couple of short remarks about that. You know, there's two people in that story who are particularly interesting to me, particularly catch my attention. I mean, there's some other things, too, and if you know the story goes on, and there's other parts to it. But first of all, the little girl. Here's a little girl from Israel. She's captive. She's working in a strange land. And yet, somehow in love or respect for her master and her mistress, she has this idea that if he goes to Israel to see the prophet, that he could be healed. So her statement is really pretty simple. She doesn't give a long explanation about about what you need to do to follow God. She doesn't give an explanation of the laws or anything like that. It's a very, very simple. If he would go to Israel, he could hear. He could learn and be healed by the prophet that was there. And so it's a very short, simple thing that she says, very childlike thing, kind of like the verse that Chloe read, the children coming to Christ and being simple before him, and we need to be Christ-like, simple that way before him as well. So what she said was simple and short. Do you ever struggle in your life, and I'm speaking primarily mostly to the adults, but maybe to the kids as well, that you want to say something about Jesus, you want to introduce him into the conversation, but you don't know how, and you're not sure that you're going to have all the right words, and what if somebody makes fun of you, and somebody, what if somebody asks you a question that you don't answer, you know, like, you can't answer, like, and there are some questions you can't answer, you know, like, why is there good and there evil, or, you know, anyway, questions like that. So, I think that little girl gives us an example here, because you see, when somebody is coming to Christ, it's typically a journey. It very seldom happens that just bang, you know, they accept Jesus as their Savior. Normally, they may not know it, but people have been praying for them. Normally, they go through a number of events in their lives that bring them to the point that they realize their need to be saved. Someone presents some part of the gospel to them, and somebody else takes them to a church, and somebody else talks to them. And so there's a whole thread of people that are leading that person to Christ. Now, maybe one person at the end gets to help them pray the prayer and accept Jesus as Savior. But all along the way, there's all of these people who have just said little things and encouraged them and spoken like this little girl out of love. Each of those is a step along the way in that person's faith. And I think sometimes we overthink, we overcomplicate our witness. And we're worried about saying the right things and having the right way to explain it to people and so on. And so often it's a question of showing love. I know that one man's love in particular, just the way he expressed himself, was tremendously instrumental in my coming to Christ. There were other people involved, of course, but one person in particular. But it's the love that wins people to Christ, because the love of God shining in your life, the Holy Spirit shining in your life, is what's going to touch people's hearts. And who actually is the one who is leading people to Christ? It's not you. It's not me. It's not Ron. It's the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, don't overthink. So my first encouragement is be simple. Just be willing to talk about, you know, yeah, we had a good day at church, or, you know, a song or a fun play. You know, just something light. Don't try and witness to people and give them the whole smear at once, because they're just going to miss most of it, and they're going to get it mixed up, or they're going to get confused. So just be simple and allow God to use your love for them and your faith and the Holy Spirit in you to shine out to people around you. So the little girl is the first person in the story that particularly caught my interest. And the second one, of course, is Naaman. You can't kind of ignore Naaman here, because he goes through a tremendous transformation. And after he's gone and done the thing in the Jordan, he goes to the man of God and says, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So accept now a present from your servant." He's not only has he been cleansed, but he's come to a revelation that all of his money, all of his power, all of his prestige, all of his strength in his soldiers, nothing could heal him. Nothing could solve the problem in his life. Nothing could get him over that. And yet, this man of God, who, by the way, if you notice, never came out of his house. He never really said anything. He just always sent a messenger. He sent a messenger to the king. He sent a messenger to Naaman. You know, Naaman was looking for something spectacular. Nothing happened. But very quietly, he said, "Go and dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed." Naaman had to submit to that. And now he comes up with his statement. He says, first of all, his self, and it's a tremendous statement of faith that shows where he's at. He says, now I know. Now I know. Because he didn't know before, he's seen the evidence, and now he knows. This is something new and revolutionary. Now I know that there is no God but in Israel. So first of all, it was very present for him. It was right now that he recognized it. And sometimes it's good for us when we are in a moment and we see God working and we see that God's touched somebody or he said something to us through the music, through the singing, through the scripture, through the message, through the prayer, whatever it is, to say, now I know God is speaking to me. I recognize that. But not only is it present right now for him, but it's also personal. Now I know. This is something that I know. And Marjorie and I have been in the church long enough that we remember a lady who struggled with her faith a little bit, off and on. Nobody else would, questioned her faith. And she stood up in the first service one morning when we had two services, and she said, somebody always said to me that I need to write down or note a particular time so that when things are going bad, I can come back to it and say, at that time, I knew. At that time, I knew I had faith. At that time, Jesus was real to me. And it's good to have those times. And so for a baptism is something like that. When you're questioning your faith, I can go back to my baptism or some other time that God spoke to you, the time that you accepted Christ. And so for Naaman, it's the I know. This is when it's personal because somebody else can talk to you, but until you personalize it, until you understand it and know in an experiential way in your life, you don't really know. You don't really know. And so you need those times to go back to. Now I know that there is no God. And it's present, it's personal, and it's powerful. There is no God. There is no God except in Israel. Now, understand, this is in a time when every country has their own gods plural, and virtually every household has their own gods, and they've got little statues in their house. And that's kind of the way the people were thinking. And you can see how this reflects in Naaman's thinking a little bit. But it's powerful that there is no God. All of those others are no God, but the God in Israel. Now, he maybe doesn't recognize that the God in Israel is the God in the world. He's not coming quite to that point. But he knows that there's a powerful God in Israel. And he's the only one who's truly a God because he's the one who healed Naaman. And it's precious to him. So it's present, it's personal, it's powerful, it's precious. Because what does he do? He offers this gift. He's brought this gift along. He was kind of thinking he would have to pay. Now he's been cured. He didn't have to pay for the cure, but still he wants to give this gift to Elisha. There's silver and gold and 10 suits of clothes, Hey, who wouldn't want that, right? It sounds like a good thing. And so he wants to give it because he wants to give something precious as a thank you. And in our lives, when we come to Jesus, we give ourselves. That's the precious gift that we give. We give ourselves totally over to him. He is the one who deserves it. So, and what's the most precious thing we have? Most precious thing we have. It's not our house. It's not our car. It's not even our family. It's not our church. It's ourselves. And we give ourselves to him, to worship him, the powerful God. So it's present, personal, powerful, precious. It's also particular because the gift is refused. It's not the kind of thing you could go and buy with a gift and pay for. Now, not that God refuses our gift. Maybe that's where my illustration breaks down a little bit. But the gift is, because it's a free gift, the gift of healing is a free gift. There is nothing we can do to pay for it after the fact. There is nothing we can do to earn it or buy it. It's a totally free gift. Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money, without cost." It's without cost, totally. And we're called to come and accept this gift that's without cost. Revelation, going right to the very end, Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of water of life come. Again, it's a free gift that he's giving to us. So Naaman experienced this free gift as well. It's not that we can earn it. It's not that we can do anything about it. But he knows now, in a very personal way, that I know that there is no God except the God in Israel. And it's precious to him, but it's free. It's free to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful story. About a little girl and her love and how she let it shine out to her master, even in difficult circumstances. Thank you for the story of Naaman and how his new faith, he had healing, but it also brought him to faith in you, Lord. And he was able to live with you, and he understood that, Lord. It was a personal faith and a powerful faith in his life. Just help us to grasp onto that faith and be able to say, I know that today I belong to Jesus. Amen.
I sing praises to you.